function of the board, they are in a better position to invest when they engage with the people on the ground on demarcation issues. To this effect, we have been engaging with the provincial executive councils, we have been engaging with the houses of traditional leaders and municipalities, in largely between February 2017 and November. The committee also raised the issue of insufficient public participation and engagement with communities during the demarcation and redetermination process. Of course, the board does engage within the limitations of its resources and as far as the legislation requires, sometimes even going beyond that. But we know for sure that the public is still unhappy. They would want to see public participation taken much further than that, and that is being appreciated. This matter was largely addressed during the current technical misalignment process when we're dealing with this technical process this time around, due to some resources that were allocated to us later in the year. We managed to hold extensive meetings with all key stakeholders, including municipalities and communities that are affected. It was a good thing to do. It shows that public participation and engagement requires a very long time, which means that demarcation processes cannot be short or cannot be undertaken in a short period of a few months if we really want to achieve the objectives of public participation. This time around, with the technical misalignment, this engagement took almost a year. For the entire year, we have been engaging before the legal process was initiated. But of course, this was made possible by the additional resources that were allocated. There is no guarantee we will still be able to operate in this manner in the following demarcation cycles, given the financial constraints that the organization is operating under. Now, just an update on the capacity assessment project itself. It was a project that was earmarked to be conducted and concluded in the year that ended, and when we had started with the planning already, this additional money came, as I indicated, and we then had to change our plans to accommodate all the district and local municipalities instead of just a few that we had targeted, given our financial limitations. The plans had to then change during the year because of the data sources that we had envisaged to have undertaken outside the process, which we ultimately had to include in the process when we issued the next round of RFP. We also had some delays, as we were cautioned after having after we had advertised, of some challenges that may arise if we were to continue the process. And of course, learning from the previous process that ended up in litigation, we had to be cautious and go back to the drawing board and re-advertise. However, the service providers were appointed and the project is underway, however, only to be concluded in October, contrary to what was planned. It, however, still allow us to have it done properly and have the board ready to have it when the next round of municipal demarcation and ward delimitation do happen. In order to enforce the process and to ensure proper coordination with all stakeholders that have a role in this process, we also have an external committee sort of that has been established, made up of the National Treasury, SALGA, FMC and COGTA, to help us in the monitoring of this process as it will be going on, of the capacity assessment. I would allow the CEO to just take over from here, briefly indicate the changes to plan targets that have been affected, and take you through the APP, the strat plan and APP. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair Concern. I'm just having a little bit of flu. Honourable members, just to continue where the chairperson has ended, we made some changes to the planned targets for 2017-18, and those changes were not necessarily reducing the number of targets that we were having, but it was a matter of putting them in a manner that it would be understandable. So one of the performance indicators, which was to produce and evaluate a report on performance of the board and its subcommittees, was deleted. The performance of the board and its subcommittees are to be evaluated by them. The performance of the board and its subcommittees was concluded in 2016. The second one that we changed during the financial year was the training program for board members developed and implemented. We amended that to produce a report on the training of board members, and the annual target was amended to read a report on board members' training submitted by the end of quarter four. The performance indicator on public participation strategy approved was amended to framework on the public participation in the South-Honorable to measure of what administration approved. Corresponding annual targets amended to framework on public participation in municipal boundaries and determination and what decision approved by end of quarter two. So those were the changes to the plan targets. Now, with regard to progress on the achievements of the 17-18 targets, Chair, just to indicate the main achievement there, the institution completed a job evaluation on the approved organizational structure. At the moment, we are looking at mechanisms of how we deal with the outcomes of the job evaluation that has been completed. We have also finalized those strategies, the ICT strategy, the marketing and branding strategy, the research strategy, the public participation framework. Like the Chair has indicated, we have engaged with those stakeholders during the year. We engaged them regarding the technical boundary alignment processes that the board was going to be embarking on. We also dealt with the spatial boundary description for 85 municipalities. In that, we are starting to define specifically the segments of the boundaries of the municipalities that are required. We have done 85 of those, and we hope that by the end of the project, we'll be able to define the boundaries of all the municipalities in the country. And the project is envisaged to be finalized around 2021. In partnership with the Human Sciences Research Council, we conducted two research seminars. One was on the categorization of municipalities into metropolitan municipalities, which happened last year towards the end of the financial year. And the other was on social cohesion with a case study that was done by Human Sciences Research Council. on the Fuani issue, we also learned a lot of lessons, one of which was that there is a need for people to understand how the demarcation processes work. We realized then that there were some people who were raising questions as to whether whatever views and the inputs that come from stakeholders when you are dealing with the demarcation issue are not the only determinants that should inform the board to about the determination. And we were indicating that, look, the issue of demarcation is not something that you subject to the popular view. Issue of demarcation is dealt with within the framework of Section 24 and 25. So you might have a popular view, but if it is outside that, it might not necessarily be taken. We also published Section 26 notices on the 106 technical misalignment boundary cases. We published them recently, and we are receiving input from communities and those municipalities that have those particular court cases. I can also indicate that we are also receiving some of the input from those other areas where we didn't even think that we are going to deal with the technical adjustment process. Now, the performance against the predetermined objectives, in summary, just to indicate that this is not yet an audited performance information. Preliminarily, we have achieved 91% of our planned targets. It's an increase of more than 20% if we consider last year's performance, which was at 65%. On the strategic plan, just to indicate that we have those four strategic goals, which is good corporate governance, quality demarcation processes and outcomes, quality research, sound advisory and knowledge management services, and meaningful public participation. We were clear when we put meaningful public participation because sometimes if you look at the provision of the Demarcations Act, the way in which public participation is designed, they might not necessarily be meaningful, which leads to a lot of challenges that we have with the communities, those who are able to litigate us do so. Now, in the second slide, out of those four goals, we have put together seven strategic objectives. And next to them, we have the objective statement. The strategic objective one is to strengthen the corporate governance environment. And the objective statement is to ensure that we have sound systems, practices, and governance structures. And the second strategic objective of sound financial management is for us to have effective and efficient use of financial resources, supply chain processes, risk management, and proper asset management. The strategic objective three is to conduct determination and redetermination of municipal boundaries, where we determine and redetermine boundaries to enhance spatial and economic integrity. education work is a seasonal thing, must come to an end, because if you are able to educate the communities around the vocation processes, then you will be able to deal with quite a number of things. I had an opportunity with the chairperson to brief the minister, the new minister, on demarcation issues. What was interesting was that he was thinking that the board can also redetermine the boundaries of traditional council. And when we said, no, this is not the case, we only determine boundaries of municipalities. What it said to us is that there are quite a number of people out there who may need to understand how the demarcation processes work. As I said earlier when we were having this seminar on Buwani, one of the chairperson of that session was a journalist who did not even understand that this thing is demarcation issues are not determined by the wishes, but they are determined by the criteria that is espoused in Section 24 and 25. Now, in terms of the programs, we have got four programs. Program one is administration, which is corporate services and financial management. Program two is demarcations, and program three is research and knowledge management. And program four is participation, education, and awareness. Just to indicate that this financial year, all in all, we will have around 23 performance indicators. If you look at slide 23, we have got six indicators that are under strategic objective one, which is strengthening the corporate governance environment. And in that, we have a number of reports in the implementation of board resolutions, a number of reports on monitoring and evaluation of compliance with relevant legislation, a number of organizational performance review sessions conducted. Just to indicate that if you look at the preliminary pre-determined objectives, when we say we have achieved around 91% and compared with 65%, last year was because we had institutionalized this issue of organizational performance review, and we were able to look at those indicators that were lagging behind and make some interventions. The fourth one is the number of reports on ICT governance, and this year, before the end of the current term of the board, we want to host a dialogue session on the reflection on the 20 years of demarcation, and the chair will be inviting the committee to that particular session. And then we look at the number of media campaigns that we need to conduct to increase the awareness of the demarcation processes. Under sound financial management, we have got around four performance indicators where we want to look at the improvement of the audit opinion expressed by the Auditor General of South Africa. The CFO will talk to the audit action plan, implementing the audit action plan, and also looking at the annual strategic risk register, and then making input on the estimate of national expenditure in national treasury. And then the next one, sorry, I said four, they are also six, the number of budget monitoring reports that we normally have, which report also shows us how far we are with our budget, and then the percentage of fully compliant invoices received and paid within 30 days. Now, with regard to strategic objective on the determination and redetermination, we have a project on the publication of legal notices in terms of Section 21. You will note that in terms of our processes, right now we have issued a Section 26 where we want to use and representations from communities, after which we'll be able to publish Section 21 to allow for those who have particular objections, and that will happen in the current financial year. And then the number of municipalities with partial boundary descriptions finalized by the end of 2021. This is a continuation of the 85 that I said we have completed, and we will be doing 57 this coming financial year, and 57 in the after year, and then the last 58 during the next year. Now, the delimitation of wards for all municipalities that qualify will be analyzing the voting districts, 25 fragmentation of communities, and this will happen immediately after the IEC would have handed to us the voters' roll, and then the determination of wards will then commence. In terms of the assessment of municipal capacity, we're going to have reports compiled on minimum norms and standards for municipal capacity to perform powers and functions. And on the research side, we want to produce the research papers that are in line with our research agenda, and maintain the number of research seminars that we continue to conduct with our stakeholders that we have an agreement with. And we also want to, this financial year, to produce a book on the reflections of the 20 years of demarcation. On public participation, we want to maintain the number of partnerships that we've established to enhance our public education and awareness campaign. In this instance, Chair, we are looking at other institutions like the public protector, so that we piggyback on the public awareness program. We have initiated discussions with them, and they had agreed that we can take it back with them. Maintain the number of outreach programs to strengthen public awareness. Maintain the number of outreach programs to strengthen stakeholder awareness and education. And then we will also be putting together some promotional materials. You would have, Chair, I've just given you the one of the products that we did last year, which is just summarizing how the demarcation process is entailed. I wanted to give all members of the next slide is just our budget in terms of the MPFS estimates. For the 18-19 financial year, $54 million, and for the other 57 and 60 million. This is not inclusive of what we received last year, because that was one off, and the discussions that we are having with Treasury to see if they could be able to give us that amount that we have requested for regionalization. Now, in terms of the next slide, I'm just indicating there that the budget allocation does not have any additional funding over the medium term, and that because we are not getting those additional funding, we might, the following priorities might be impacted upon. Issues of increasing organizational capacity for regionalization and the establishment of the demarcation knowledge hub. Like I said, we have been engaging with COTA and the National Treasury to identify sources of funding. That 7 million has already been mentioned that we got for capacity assessment and also for public participation effect. 3.5 was for capacity assessment, which is the reason why the chair was indicating that we had to refer our terms of reference so that we include all municipalities in the country. We will not have sufficient funds for the forthcoming water delimitation processes. The amount that we are having may be limited depending on how this out. And then the broad processes that are indicated in that slide is just for the committee to note that we are currently in the technical alignment of municipal boundaries. We have done the pre-legal consultation, and we are now entering the legal processes, after which we will deal with the delimitation of wards for local government elections in 1920, and then consultation and legal processes again. And then the last part is the IEC processes that will ensue. Now, just the next slide was just for us to update the committee on the redetermination process. We are close to concluding the municipal boundary redetermination processes, that is the technical. And by way of enhancing public participation, we have engaged with the following stakeholders during the pre-legal processes. We have presented to MINMEC, we have presented to provincial executive councils, National House, IEC, Chief Surveyor General, and we've had working sessions with affected municipalities on possible options to fix the misalignment, and consulted with affected communities to obtain their input, share and engage with them on other options. The current Section 26 notices that we've issued, those communities, at least they know what we have indicated to them in terms of how we deal with the views that they will express, and when necessary, we'll hold additional public meetings and finalize the redetermination in July and hand over the boundaries in August, as already agreed with the IEC. Now, in conclusion, the challenges that we highlighted in the previous engagement with the committee is they are still existing. Resources that are incompatible with the organizational strategy and mandate, and the lack of the regional footprint, which created disconnect with the public. future of the intermediate cities. Just to indicate that with regard to legislation, we have made our submissions. We again engaged with the COCTA. We're hoping that the bill might be coming to this committee for the processes of parliament. And lastly, we appreciate the progress that COCTA is making regarding the review of this bill, and hope that this bill would be processed through Parliament in time for the water delimitation process to start in 2019. Thanks.
Thank you very much for the presentation. CEO, maybe we should allow the members, if there is no addition from the side, can we allow members then to engage with the report? Honourable Malam.
Chair, first of all, let me thank the committee for their report. And let me say that I am pleased to see that the capacity assessment is now moving forward, that you've appointed a service provider. I do wish to reiterate that those capacity assessments, which you indicate will be done by October this year, if I'm not mistaken, will be public, that they will be put up on your website and will be available for the general citizenry to engage with. Chairperson, I am concerned with the statement in the presentation that the board will not have funds to conduct ward delimitation. I think that is something that is particularly concerning. I do understand the time frame that it involves, that it's not in the current financial year and that it would commence probably towards the middle of the next financial year, if I'm not mistaken. But I think that that's something that needs to be highlighted both to the department and to National Treasury, that this is a critical component and a critical mandate of the board. So we need to make sure that is adequately funded, that there is proper resources provided for that. And please note, I'm not supporting the regionalization model. I've spoken out against it in the past. I'm just saying that we need to make sure that there is funding for the ward delimitation process, and in particular, the consultation process that is associated with that. There have been criticisms in the past that ward delimitation, it basically, you go out and consult and it doesn't matter what the consultation says, that it's largely ignored. So I'm not saying that there's a perception, it's a criticism that has been made. I'm not saying it's a reality, I'm just saying there's a perception. And I think that the board needs to go out of its way to make sure that perception is dismissed or not created. So as part of that, we need to make sure that adequate funds are available for that process. Chair, apart from that, I can't find fault with what the board has done. I think that they work in a difficult environment and that it's something that needs to be commended. We've had run-ins in the past, but I think that by and large, this is a good report.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Just to thank the board for the report. And send it to raise just three brief issues. One is really concern about performance targets. I know that the board is very unique in different type of organizations, and some of the issues is worrying. We put targets as reports. There's a report on this, there's a report on that, and so on. I think as we move into the future, we should try and make targets more concrete. Not so that I have the solution to the problem, but particularly assist the work of the board if we endeavor to move in that kind of direction. The second point is on the financial year 2019-2020 and 2020-2021. And this is the point that's raised on slide 27. I see the demarcation board work continuing to be unfinished on the assessment of municipalities as we move into the future. So I don't really understand why we're saying on those financial years, assessment of municipalities is not applicable. I mean, it's something that's going to continue happening. So we need to find a way of ensuring that we don't lose sight of this important part of our work. Even if there's a change of board in February, we need to give a pointer to those who will be there that there's this issue that continues to arise in the work of the Municipal Demarcation Board. The last issue, Chairperson, is really a matter that has already been raised by Honorable Madam. On the budget. But I just want to emphasize it because, as far as I understand it, I mean, the core mandate of the board is the core function is really this delimitation of the board and so on. And I can't understand when you say there's no money for a core function. Because that's what the board is about, if I'm correct. I think we need to have a different narrative there. And I understand if the narrative is there's money, you know. We're aging for more funding, etc., etc. What I mean to say, we're shifting all the money to ensure that the core function is done, but there are these gaps that we need to address. Because we're unlikely to get the money. I mean, if the narrative is as is, because those who give the money must be able to see that there's an effort here, you know, to do as much as possible with the little resources that are made available. So there's a slight change there that we need to ensure in relation to the narrative. Otherwise, to say there's no way to do, to conduct forthcoming water delimitation process.
No, thanks, Chair. Mine is just to have a clarity in terms of the public participation Is there any work that is done currently on those areas due to your financial strain? And also, if my memory serves me well, on the local government election, there were a number of issues that were cases that we were dealing with. And we did not find the final report. How did you finally resolve some of those issues? Especially last year, October, November, there was still a number of complaints that were there. That's why I'm concerned about this public participation and making the awareness of the new demarcation process. So I wonder if that report you had, you have, so that you can share with us. Thanks.
Jay, there was one other thing that was touched on, and that is identified as a challenge to the demarcation board, and that it relates to the provincial boundaries. And my question is, what can we do to assist in finalizing those provincial boundaries so that you can complete your work as the demarcation board? I realize that it requires constitutional amendments, etc. What is the current status of those amendments? Have they been tabled before Parliament? Has that work been done? I realize it's not your mandate, but obviously it has a huge impact on the board and its ability to do its job. So can you just enlighten us a little bit about that?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I've got the comment and the question. In terms of this presentation, there's only one common thing that is surfacing: public participation. In other words, the challenges that we have, now, it's a question of public participation. Now, I understand in terms of the Act, Demarcation Act, you have particular stakeholders that normally you presented, like you've mentioned in your presentation. But also, I think and I feel it's not enough. It is not enough. Because the challenge out of all this community, I think we must first understand the background, where we're coming from. The issue of one, for example, there was the Gazambulu and all those things. So it needs that clarification to these people. You know, clarity. People must be taken into board, you know, for them to understand. I would suggest that the demarcation board should prioritize, you know, provinces or areas where there are difficulties. You know. Because for me, it is not enough to publish on section whatever, section 25 whatever, you know, notices. But you make a joint venture with the stakeholders, like the traditional leaders, for example. You know, so that you feel this comment, you know, you feel this consultation. I think in future we can avoid such challenges. Yes, I'm aware that you have raised a financial constraint, which indeed the National Treasure have promised, you know, to cater in 2020. Indeed, also that will hinder your work, as other colleagues have indicated, you know, delaying this elimination of wards for municipalities. I just want also to understand on the strategic, you have said in terms of your presentation, strategic objective on the sound financial management, where you have targeted the unqualified opinion 2018, 2019, unqualified and clean audit 2020, 2021. Can you clarify? Because in terms of your presentation, you said the CFO will deal with that. Yes, thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Myself and the Deputy Chair will be able to deal with all the questions except for the last question, which the CEO and CEO would address, the one on quite unqualified opinion. Starting with the questions from Honorable Millem. We indeed commit that the capacity assessment process, once finalized, the report would indeed be public and be accessible to the public. I'm not sure whether it is in the language, but the fact of saying we'll have no funds for what limitation, which just means sufficient. There will not be sufficient funds. As far as the legislation requires, you can run what delimitation in a month, effectively. But we are saying that is not sufficient. We have learned lessons. We have, through our previous work, through engaging with stakeholders, through engaging with Parliament, through engaging at conference, we know that this is not sufficient. We know that the public demands better in terms of public participation. What delimitations, I may not say they are more important than municipal boundaries, but they do carry an element of democratic legitimacy. If they are run in a manner that leaves people questioning a number of things, then it means that we are rendering local government itself to have its legitimacy and the legitimacy of the elections that arise out of that questionable. That is in the nature of what happens when ward boundaries shift. This process therefore requires that there be sufficient public participation. We made an example during the presentation when we said, look at what we did this year because of the additional funding once off that we got from COGDA. We were able to engage in what we refer to as pre-legal process. That has never been done before because the board just operates, use the money and do what the law says we must do. But this time around, we engaged with municipalities, all key stakeholders, even the affected communities, before we started with the publication of Section 26 notices, such that by the time we start with the publication, we already have drawn their inputs. We already have received their views as to how they think the particular misalignment can be resolved, such that at the time now when we went out to start with the legal process, we don't even expect there will be new things emanating. That's why we are saying we will go on public engagement where necessary. But we saw that putting a lot of time aside, putting resources to deal with public issues, deal with issues that would have to be considered later in the legal process, is a cost-efficient way. It looks expensive, but it's a cost-efficient way of ensuring the democratic legitimacy I was referring to, but also even minimizing protest, minimizing potential litigation. So the funds, unless we have the funds increased, the next board that comes that will be dealing with ward delimitation would not be able to run it in the manner that we did this technical misalignment. This was the first time we never ourselves were able to do this given the financial limitations. Honorable Madam, regarding ward delimitation, will be dealt with in the legislative review process, including the issues. The other issues are issues of the role of the minister in formulating the formula that has to be used to determine wards. And we know that that process also is the access minister, but there are engagements that then happen before that and when the formula is determined appropriately, that assists because the board just comes in to implement strictly following what the formula dictates. The formula remains key in any delimitation of ward before the process starts. The Honourable Masondo, we do take the comments that you're raising, the issues of sometimes having reports, setting targets around report that we should in future make them more concrete. I think that is an advice that we are taking. The question of saying not applicable on capacity assessment in some years, when he presented, CEO referred to the question that capacity assessments are not going to be done every year. They will be done every other 2 years. So that is why probably you see not applicable in some years. I'm not sure if this doesn't help clarify that, because once he's conducted capacity assessment, in the world of a municipality, things don't change that frequently to necessitate this huge cost of assessing every other year, but also you create some fatigue as we'll be going around every year engaging with the stakeholders on extensive questionnaires, collecting information where issues might have changed very little indeed. Yes, the budget, I think I've spoken to the budget issues, and these are frustrations on our side. We can only do as much but to raise this concern. The board, everything that the board does is just as prescribed by the law. This means are constitutional. You have to do municipal boundaries. You have to do wards. You have to do capacity assessment. And we are saying the money is not even enough for this institution to carry out what is constitutionally mandated to carry out, unless you want it to be done just strictly by the book, which we know that the outcome is not what would create stability within the sector. We know that there are competing objectives on the fiscus. We know that those who look at budget rationalization are the ones prioritizing, looking at what is it that is more important. But we have tried to even caution, to show, for example, the benefits of pumping money into capacity assessment, because you deriving more trust by the public, deriving more democratic legitimacy. Highly priced. You may not link it to rand and cents, but what you will put into, if you put enough into public participation, you save a lot. So, and perhaps, well, against other objectives, that these must fall in other things that are more important in the country. People who look at the budget seem to not be understanding the kind of things that we are raising, which we say are more critical and are necessary, we have to do things in a manner that will kill all those perceptions and make sure that people have more trust in the processes that we are embarking upon. It is not probably right to refer to examples such as one. These are perceptions, and they come when there is no participation that would make people happy, that you ultimately end up with a cost like that, that arise out of protests, that arise out of litigations, but at the end, government would end up spending more if you don't spend a little just to enhance the resources to make sure that the board conducts its mandate in a manner that would ensure maximal engagement by our people on the process. Honorable Tato, I may just request that you would repeat that. I think you're referring to a particular report on areas where there might have been dissatisfaction, but I couldn't get what report that is. If you can just help us by being specific on that one. The issue, let me just quickly before I speak to the last one, the issue of provincial boundaries that the Honorable Mellam raised. You're right that the board doesn't have a mandate on provincial boundaries, but any adjustment in provincial boundaries makes it imminent that municipal boundaries change. And that is why we would be informed. We are aware that there are processes because COGTA did make us aware. We also have cautioned that if there's going to be any constitutional amendments, please be aware that municipal demarcation processes have to be concluded by end of July. Be mindful of that because the IEC requires the handing over of boundaries by August in order for them to be able to run to prepare for the elections. That is what we highlight, because indeed we don't have any role in the provincial boundary matters unless asked on technical issues to point to certain boundaries or certain maps, but we do have an imminent role to amend municipal boundaries should any provincial boundary change. The public participation issues, Honourable Member, and JVs with stakeholders, indeed we do take this very seriously. This is what we are doing, just creating this partnership, because particularly given our limited resources, it's only through this partnership that we can, in a way, stretch the potential of reaching as many stakeholders as possible, and thereby relying on them to even help extend public education, spatial literacy and issues of demarcation to the public in the local areas. I would ask the Deputy Chairperson to add, if any, before the CFO talks to the unqualified opinion.
Thanks, Chair. I don't have much to add. If I could start with the public participation thing. I've been involved with the demarcation board for almost 20 years, and I think it's time for me to move on to. And as far as I can remember, we've not lost any court case with respect to the issues of process and public participation. But this board has taken the decision that that is not enough, that there needs to be a lot more engagement on the substantive stuff, and to make it easy for people to engage, including the way in which we have our meetings, where we have our meetings, and the times at which we have our meetings, and so forth. So we are, and we've even had consultation with GCIS on this, with SALGA, COGTA, all the people who are responsible for some form of public participation. So we have had these engagements. We've got a dedicated team working on the issue of public participation, so we are looking at it very seriously. As part of the legislative review, we've also put this matter in. Now, of public participation that needs to be looked at. With respect to the wards, the the issue of the wards, they're absolutely correct that there is very little control that the Municipal Demarcation Board has over ward boundaries when the formula is as difficult as it is. And at the last mid-meg that I was at, and the minister mentioned the fact that he knows that the formula is an issue and that he will apply his mind, and I think that's something that that we need to look at, but it's also something we have put into the legislative review to say, please look at this. On the legislative review, if I could just as an aside, we've put in a comprehensive submission on what needs to change, and the formula is one of that, including looking at 10-year demarcations and not 5-year demarcations. Part of that ward demarcation issue and the formula is the fact that the IEC probably, and I'm saying probably because I don't know the internal workings, probably does need to clean up its own database with respect to wards and people moving and growing and that kind of stuff. With respect to the provincial boundaries, the complexity there, well, firstly, COCTA has a process underway. They've already started the consultations, and I'm saying this because I was at MINMEC where this was reported on, where they have started a process. They started a process of consultation. They've explained the difficulties, and one key difficulty is that both provinces affected by a boundary have to agree. And if you don't have that, then you're sitting with a kind of thing. And then each provincial legislature has to sit and make a decision on that boundary. So it is a complex process from a time point of view. Whether it's going to be done for the next election, next local government election, I'm not in the realm of conjectural speculation. But that's something that I know is work in progress. But as you said, as you know, we have no role within that. I think that's about all I want to add. Thank you.
Thank you. The reason why we only have clean audit in 2020-21 is because in 2016-17 we had a non-compliance to SEM processes for a contract that we awarded that's a 3-year contract. So when that contract is being, it's still active, as long as that contract is still active, we'll always have irregular expenditure that is linked to that contract. So the chances of us getting a clean audit while we have irregular expenditure is very limited. So that's why we can't put in that we'll achieve clean audit while we still have irregular expenditure. Thank you.
Just a comment. Chair, can we ask through you that you communicate with the Justice Portfolio Committee about finalising these provincial boundaries? Because obviously as a constitutional amendment, that's where it goes through and the Constitutional Review Committee. But we've just heard that this needs to be finalised before July this year. So can I ask that through your offices we expedite this process and make sure that it gets dealt with as a matter of urgency? Thank you.
Yes, Chief. Before, because last time we had, I was referring to a number of these municipality boundaries. Remember, there were a number of cases that were unresolved, and then I wanted it so that that report, because it's going to assist us, also to learn out of that report when you deal with the provincial demarcation that we're dealing with currently. So that's the one. And I also want to check on make a follow-up on the financial. Is there any way that this contract can be terminated? Is it cost effective to keep it there while it's getting you to this rate for this next 4-3 years, 2 years to come? Can't you find a way of just terminating this contract so that you can go back to your normal financial viability?
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. this is for people like me who are not financial. This has always been a question. I don't know how many times did I ask that this question be explained to me. It's a financial matter. The irregular expenditure related to the appointment of a company that does internal audit. The irregular expenditure is condoned. However, despite this having been condoned, because it runs on a year-to-year, time and again when they audit, as long as the life of this thing hasn't come to an end, it will still be said you have an irregular expenditure. Even if it happened 2016-17, the next year, as long as the contract hasn't come to an end, it still says you have an irregular expenditure because this is still running. It's something that happened then, but because it's running, in every year, as long as it still runs, that irregular expenditure will come. And when there is an irregular expenditure, you can't have a clean audit. I asked this many times until I could pull my hair, but it doesn't look like there is a mechanism. The Honourable Mthethwa, the cases, there are incidences where people are still unhappy, but from the board side, we don't call them unresolved cases because they have been resolved indeed. They have run through their process in courts, in the high courts, up to the constitutional court. So we don't say, in our case, we don't have unresolved cases, except that indeed, even on wards where people were unhappy, who raised their unhappiness through different means. I do remember, for example, the case of with wards, the case of the Denver hostel. We just engaged through engagements, explained what. How the conclusion was arrived at, and in all those instances, we found that communities were happy. Of course, we know that the Bowani matter, people are still unhappy despite the process having run its course through the highest court, up to the highest court in the land. In those instances, these are just taken as lessons, as you'd heard. We even engaged and partnered with the HSRC who produced who did a study on Vuani, spoke to people there, and I think this report, the Vuani report itself, would be useful, and that is what we will make available, perhaps even a report of this seminar, because that's where people were engaging on it extensively. On such cases, of course, the board continues to draw lessons and still look at how can we in future improve on how we deal with issues. And all this time, things of public participation are the ones that come.
Thank you. Any other questions?
That we're also a finance person. Contract never ended. Yes, Pete. It doesn't end. Until you go, so still be there. How long does it take? 5 years?
No, it's a 3 year.
It's a 3 year contract.
Was signed, sealed, and then you can't do otherwise, you go to court.
No, it's like the chairperson has said, the contract itself has been condoned, but the issue is that every time you spend, because they claim on the work that they do, but that is still an irregular expenditure. We engaged with the Audit and Risk Committee to engage with the Auditor General to say, but look, this thing has been condoned. Why should we continue to be penalized on something that has already been condoned? And that engagement, we still have to get the Auditor General to come back to us. Unfortunately, the two people who were deployed audit and risk committees to say to them, these are the matters that were there, but when we engage with them at management level, we realized that there was not even a handover report by the previous external auditors that were in. So it's not a contract where you can say you are terminating, because if you terminate, they can litigate against you and you still lose more money.
Okay, thank you very much.
Madam, you're also an auditor.
No, Chairman.
I'm
not very aggressive, Chairman. I'm not a gray man.
I wanted you to get involved with this.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I do not have much to say except that we really consider ourselves privileged to be having a committee such as the one that we have. Not because you look favorably on our work, but because you do raise issues that continue to make us better. We really appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. And, we'll say it next year. What you want to say next year, we'll say it. Thank you very much for your report and the presentation. We'll continuously engage and have discussion and see what else we can do. Public participation, as we indicated previously, you would always extend your invitation to members. Wherever they are available, they will attend also, because that is to engage with communities. Hear what are the voices of the communities, the lesson that we have learned, and many other challenges that are still there. And then thank you very much for the work. Well done. Can I join our meeting, honorable members? Unless there's other item that was on the agenda that I don't know, or there's one item for Malem.
No, Chair, it's just yesterday we touched on it, and I just want to formally request that we set up that joint meeting with Treasury to discuss the Municipal Councillors Pension Fund, that we find time in the program to discuss it. It is something that is of major concern to all councillors everywhere.
In fact, it's in May, I think on the 5th of May. It's already there on the calendar of our meeting.
I haven't seen the latest calendar.
We have not seen the latest. Because you don't attend maybe one meeting. Masondo, if you can just talk to Masondo, can assist you with some of those things. No, it's just read that area of councils and that is VBS and all those matters.
Yeah, VBS is one.
The ban issue and the other issue of councils, I think yesterday was reported that there was some problem on that. And it's on our agenda, in fact, I think it's May 5. But we are going to circulate the agenda. I think you must do that for every member to have it, just to ensure that we deal with that matter once and for all. Yeah. Well, I think the department that deals with these matters can meet with us and brief us on that. If they do decide to invite their bank, but the bank anyway is under conservatorship anyway. I'm not sure they can invite them when the operational department can come and explain some of those issues there. Okay, let us work on that. Thank you very much, honorable members. Water and tea is still available for members to enjoy.